This evening, before we have our time of singing hymns together and a fellowship meal, I will make a few comments on some verses found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah, chapter 31. Before we reflect together upon the Word of God, let us once again pray. Our blessed God, we thank you for this day of rest, a time that we could lay aside the normal labors and activities of the week, and we could assemble together in your presence and call upon your name and hear your word and have fellowship one with another. And Lord God, we desire that as we have these times together, we would be better equipped for your service, because we know that we are engaged in a great warfare. We must continually resist and struggle with the powers of darkness and with our own remaining sin and with the pressures of the world. And so may we, during these times of worship, these times of instruction, these times of prayer and praise, be made stronger for your service. And this night, as we consider some of your truths, might you be pleased to use them to help us better serve you. In the name of Christ, we ask these things. Amen. It has been likened unto a roller coaster ride. And I think I'd be right in assuming that just about everyone here has ridden on a roller coaster. If I recall correctly, you start off rather slowly, click, 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 and you're going straight up. And you keep going up, and you keep going up, and you look around, and you look down, and my, those people are so small. The cars are so little. And then all of a sudden, you plunge downward. And in so doing, there might be a few, myself, wonders, well, is everything all right? Is it out of control? Are we going to crash? And then suddenly, you hit the bottom and you come up and you go over a series of hills up and down, and there are those sudden turns that jars your whole being, and there might even be that breathtaking loop, and then again up and down and up and down, and finally the ride is over. And most of the people on that ride, they really enjoyed it. In fact, they'd like to do it again, and they just might spend all their money on the roller coaster. And then there might be a few who walk away and say, well, you know, I think I'd like something a little more tame. Could you direct me to the children's merry-go-round? Liken unto a roller coaster ride. To what am I referring? Well, I am referring to the U.S. stock market. Of late, it's like a roller coaster ride up and down. And oh, so many people, their incomes have been ruined and their retirement plans are all but gone. And on any one day, the market shoots up and there's a great deal of hope and excitement, but then suddenly it plunges. And there is that despair likened into a roller coaster. As regards the stock market, there's just no stability. As far as the whole U.S. economy is concerned, there's no stability. And people are greatly concerned, and many, many people they're holding on to their money. They'll only buy, they'll only spend what is really necessary because they don't know what's coming. Yes, the politicians have given us some promises, and they'll say things, well, it's going to get better and things are going to be all right. And so we had the promise, you know, the stimulus package, that would be the cure-all. That was a disaster. Well, what about all these shovel-ready jobs? No shovels, no jobs. And so the politicians, they have their promises, all these promises. And we'll get a lot more of them as 212 comes up, you see. But do you believe a politician's promises? But yet, on the other hand, as the people of God, He gives us promises, doesn't He? And we believe them. And we accept them. And we rest upon them. We cannot help but do so because of the hearts He has given to us. And sometimes it appears to me that God gives forth a promise and then He puts a little footnote on that promise. A little footnote to encourage us. This promise is certain. What a night for a few moments. I want us to look at what I consider to be a footnote on a promise that God has given. And so I'll read out of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 37. And when we look at verses 31 through 34, we have what is called the New Covenant promise. God's going to do something. But yet, you know, the people have been hearing a lot of promises. The false prophets have caused a lot of damage. The prophets said this wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen, the Chaldeans couldn't do this or that, and it all happened. And so the people wonder about these promises and these prophets. But here's a promise from God. Here's something that He says He'll do. It comes from Him. It comes through a true prophet, Jeremiah. But yet to encourage the people, to strengthen the people, He adds what I call a little footnote. But I'll go back and start with verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars by light by night, for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease also from being a nation before me. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Amen. And so He gives a promise. And then I think verses 35 through 37, He gives some encouragement. And what's the point here? Well, I think God is saying, as you can observe, visibly observe, my faithfulness in creation, my faithfulness with these ordinances. So that should give you encouragement as you observe these things day by day, that this promise I have given to you is certain. It's certain. Every day that you live, every day that you observe the ordinances, the creation, and the steadfastness of it, and my faithfulness in it, you should be encouraged that I will keep my promise. It is certain. And so as we look at these verses very briefly, let us consider, first of all, the perpetuity, we might put it that way, or the certainty of God's created order. You notice, thus says the Lord, the same Lord that spoke with reference to the new covenant, who says, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars by night. And so as a biblical Christian, you automatically can't help but think of creation, and you go back to Genesis, and you find that this is what you have, this matter of, like verse 16 of chapter 1, then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. It reminds you of creation. It reminds you of what God has done. He's the one who brought all this into existence, and He is the one who is active in His creation. And you have that word there, the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, ordinances, or you could think of it as my decrees or as my laws. And so certain things are very certain with reference to God's creation, with reference to the sun, with reference to the moon, with reference to the sea. He has His decrees. You have those words that come out in Job chapter 38, and you remember the last part of Job. The Lord speaks to him about His creation, and Job is so greatly humbled. You pick it up at verse 8 concerning the matter of the sea that He's made, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth, and issued from the womb when I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors when I said, thus far you may come, but no farther. And here, you proud waves, must stop. You see, He has His decree. He has His laws. All things are under His control. All things belong to Him. And you remember in Matthew 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us about this matter of how we should treat our enemies. And He says, with reference to your Father, who makes His Son to shine upon the just and the unjust. He sends His rain upon the just and the wicked. It's His Son. And He controls it. And He is the one who makes it to move. He is the one who controls the rain. This is His world. And He is very active in it. And so He is saying, day after day, when you see these things, you see the sun, you see the moon, the stars, it should remind you of my faithfulness in creation, and I will be faithful in spiritual matters. I will be faithful when it comes to my covenant promise. God has His decrees. He has His ordinances. And so I ask you, do you at all worry or fret about the sun rising tomorrow? Do you even think about it? Well, maybe it won't. I remember an introductory philosophy course I took, and that came up, and they wanted to discuss it. How could I be so sure? You know, it might not. Well, according to the Bible, well, unless God's time to end the world. You don't worry about that. You just expect it tomorrow. Why? Well, that's just the way God has made things. You know the sun will rise. You know it will be there. Oh, it may be cloudy. You can't see it. It may be cloudy at night. And yes, you can go to Alaska and they've got a long season of night, a long season of day. But that's all regulated. That's all decreed. That's what He's saying here. Just as I am faithful in my creation, I will be faithful to you as regards this covenant promise. And this reminds me of what has always been to me some rather strange verses in Luke 16 where the Lord is speaking about stewardship and faithfulness. And He says, if you cannot be faithful in the unfaithful mammon, in other words, if you can't be faithful in material things, who'll give you the true riches? And I've seen that over the years. If you can't be faithful to God with material things, that same person's not faithful in spiritual things. It's just not there. And so God says, I am faithful in my creation. I'll be faithful in my covenant promise. And so from the perpetuity of these ordinances, let's look at the power. God's power is continually displayed in His creation. And so you notice the statement that is made again in the latter part of verse 35. Who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. And there's question about how to translate disturbs or divides, or words sometimes even mean sends peace. The point is, the Lord controls the sea. The Lord is at work in His creation. As Hebrews plainly tells us, He upholds all things by the word of His power. And in Colossians, it says, it is the Lord who holds everything together. In Him all things consist. And again, in Him we live and we move and we have our being, you see. the power of the Lord. And we are plainly told by Paul, you recall, when we look at creation, what do we face? Well, we face the revelation of God's power. Now, recently, I was over on the West Coast, and I love to go out and sit on the beach and read, but you can't help but ever so often you look out at the ocean. And I notice people will sit there, it seems like for hours, they just look at the ocean. It's so marvelous. It's so fascinating. And I look and I see those waves and those big swells and there's white caps and they splash upon the shore. Sometimes it appears with a little bit of violence. And I notice some of the waves come directly at me upon the beach. Then others come at an angle. And I ask myself, who controls this ocean? Who controls every wave and where it splashes? Well, as a believer, I say, I read my Bible and it's God. It's God who controls all the waves of the sea. But apart from faith, I'd look at all those waves and I'd look at that turmoil and I would say, no one controls this. Nothing controls this. It's impossible. It can't be done. It's wild. But no, the Bible teaches us God controls that sea. He stirs up the storms. He is the one who sends peace. What a revelation of power. In what way does that help us with the covenant promise? He has the power, you see, to take out that stony heart. He has the power to give that heart of flesh. He has the power, you see, to lift up, to resurrect those who are spiritually dead. He has the power to write these law on the heart, on the mind, to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has the power with reference to that physical resurrection. And so every day that we live, some form, some fashion, we're confronted with the power of God. The power of God in His creation. The clouds, the sun, the moon, the stars. All under God's control. But then briefly in the third place, you notice the promise that is given. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. And so the promise is this, God will always have His people. God will always have His people. If these ordinances depart from before my face, then the seed of Israel shall cease. It'll never be a nation. And then he puts out a challenge, it's not to himself, because God can certainly do this, but it's a challenge to man. If the heavens above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out, then I will cast off all the seed of Israel. Well, man can't do that. As has been pointed out, if we could travel at the speed of light and year after year after year after year and go out and just... we couldn't exhaust it. We couldn't fully explore it. And it's been said that man knows more about space than he does his own earth, than the ocean. He doesn't know. But if it was possible for him to know and search all of this out, then God will cast off the seed of Israel. He'll cast off His people. And perhaps we could think about that statement, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. There's that word all. And if you've got into any discussions with the Arminian, he likes to take the word all and just beat you over the head and beat you over the head. All means all means all means always. Well, sometimes it means all, and sometimes it doesn't mean all as far as every single one. But what is God saying? I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. Why is that there? Well, I suggest to you because He is going to cast off some of the seed of Israel. He's going to cast off a goodly number of the seed of Israel. The Chaldeans are coming. It's a judgment from God. And He's going to bring judgment upon and cut off the hypocrites. He's going to cut off the false prophets. But not all. Not all. He'll have His people. And so it is down through history. He knows those who belong to Him. He keeps His people. He'll always have His people. But He'll cast off the hypocrite. You remember those statements made by Jesus concerning evidently the judgment. Those who will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? And we, you know, we look so good and so religious and we could talk pious words. I never knew you. He cast them off. But here's some comfort for us. God will always have His people. Oh, things may appear very dire, and in certain places there seems to be so few, but God will always have His people. God has the power. He's able to keep us. And as we indicated this morning, how is it that you are yet professing the faith in the face of so many difficulties, so many trials? How many times have you stumbled? You have fallen. You have shamed yourself. You have shamed the Lord. Yet you are here. Why are you here? Well, you can't help but be here. You're seeking the Lord. You want His grace. You want His mercy. The Lord, He keeps His people. We are always in His hand, and not one sheep shall perish. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we are thankful that You have so ordained things and created everything that we are continually confronted with Your greatness. As we simply look at what we call creation, the things that You have made, the world in which You have placed us, we see Your greatness. And if we think aright, we should be greatly encouraged. And we are thankful that all of Your promises, they are certain. And we thank You for the way You have fulfilled Your promises in our lives. And as we look forward to the future, Lord God, we do not know what it holds, but You do. And we rest in Your promises, knowing that You are with us and knowing that You are keeping us. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.